Hey listeners, this is your host, Brother X, coming to you guys, letting you know that in today's episode, we had a little bit of some audio issues that we do apologize for. We are working to get better at the editing process so that we can make sure that these do not happen in future episodes. We do appreciate your patience and your support with all of our episodes in the podcast. With that being said, guys, let's get started.
Let's get this shit. Top of the morning. Hold on. Let's get this shit.
Like, what these niggas on like?
And welcome back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and
the Coach Scientist.
Yes, listeners, I was able to find the culture scientist. She finally made it home, came home from homecoming and everything in between. So she's finally back on this. And so we can actually start a new season of the Truth and Transparency Podcast. And before we go any further, first and foremost, I want to introduce the man behind the scenes, the man with many nicknames, the ones that I won't use anymore. But I'm about to say the Baltimore Shuffler, the Crabber Crusader, the Mr. I and Fivals Goes West Part 2. I'm still Doug Dimmadome, home of Doug's Dimmadome Emporium. I am Leroy Jenkins. I was Lawrence in my past life from Insecure. I told you how to get new nicknames and I'm going off the dome. Mrs. Smith, introduce yourself.
Wow, really, Lawrence? Are we saying like Lawrence at the end of season one, like when he put the Best Buy shirt up? Are we talking later on? Like, which way are we talking?
I think we both know it's the Best Buy shirt. We know.
Fair enough. All right. Anywho, listeners, it is your favorite Fed, Mr. Smith, also known as, you know what I'm saying?
I like turtles.
And want to give a quick shout out to all the plays, all the listens. We are finally back for season freaking two. And just want to say thank you guys. And let's go ahead and get the season cracking.
Top of the morning. All right, and listeners, if you are a first-time listener, we are the Truth and Transparency Podcast, where we talk about everything truthfully and transparently in a fashion with our friends, guests, and everything in between. We talk about why people can't get right, why people can't have nice things, why people wonder why they're a side chick, but we'll get back to that later. Mrs. Smith, yes?
I forgot to mention this. The quick little, I'm gonna have a mini soapbox moment.
Hold on. Wait.
All right,
there's your step stool. Go ahead.
Kyle Rittenhouse. What the hell were you thinking with them fake ass crocodile tears?
Dog. Bruh. Hold on. Let me. I know it's a small step stool, but I'm gonna get up there with you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So every black child or every black person that grew up as a child and saw and knows fake crying and has watched it happen with their siblings or themselves, they know when someone is faking it, because they ain't practicing well enough. You haven't lived in a black household if you haven't practiced your fake cry face.
And he definitely did.
I wouldn't say I practiced it.
Oh, you wasn't deep in the trenches like that.
I didn't need to practice it.
Oh, you had genuine fear and scaredness?
You've met my mama.
For someone who is as tiny as your mother.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah. No mama walk around like she's 6'4 and play outside linebacker for the NFL.
I don't play with my mama. I don't like to.
How about I say, she is the most light-skinned linebacker I have ever met in my life.
Wow. Wow, okay.
Love you, mama scientist.
I just want to say, Kyle, all the black people in the world do not even, you're not even fazed by the amount, you had to really struggle to get one tear out. And you're probably going to get off because the judge is probably an alt-right person, but just know, you ain't slick. Them shits was fake.
I'm about to say, that's how I know they ain't got a black woman as a judge, because I promise you, she probably would have had a reflex where she would have said, right, keep crying all you want to. I'll give you something to really cry about in a moment.
I like those stories.
Dog, them things inspire character and fear.
Like but, a story about when somebody was not listening and kind of fell down the stairs and then they yelled back up the steps, like, I'm gonna call the po-po.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, well, come up the steps then so you have a reason to call the po-po. You know, things like that.
I mean, you wouldn't be talking about anybody in specific, but
I'm just saying.
I mean, but statute of limitations is gone now, but all right. Getting back to today's episode, Mrs. Smith said, we just thank you for all the plays and support. We're going to be coming to you with a lot of great dope ideas and more guests, more really in-depth topics. We got a lot of stuff in the works. Patreon's going to be worked on. We got YouTube. We're still working out the kinks on that, but we'll get back to you and we'll make more announcements about that when those things are up and running. So we're actually going to hop into something that the streets was talking. We finally listened. We finally actually found the game. We're bringing back something. If you are an OG listener, you remember this is like the first few episodes where we actually did a game called Super Fight. And for listeners who are a first time listener, we actually did this game where it's like, it's called Super Fight, where two people are basically having an argument and they argue to see who their character will win in a fight. So it starts off with, you get three white cards, three black cards. White cards are the characters, black cards are the abilities. So you pick one card of each, one white card, one black card, and then you pick one additional random black card, which is like a wild card ability. From there, you and the other person who you are arguing against each have about, we'll say about roughly 30 minutes to 1 minute to be able to, how long? I'm sorry?
30 seconds.
30 seconds, I'm sorry, 30 seconds to be able to argue who would win in a fight between the two characters based on their abilities and the arguments. And then we normally have the listeners or our guests actually determine who wins. And in this case, it's actually going to be between myself and the Coach of Sciences, of course, because if we're going to bring it back, we got to have the original OGs do it. And then we're going to let Mr. Smith and let you guys on social media and in our comments let us know who wins. Yes, Mr. Smith.
Oh, shit. Here we go again.
Yes, sir. All right, but this should be a really good one. So what we're going to do for you guys, we've already picked our cards off screen or off audio like before we got started. So we're going to actually tell you our character first and then our abilities. And then we will have Mr. Smith, I know I didn't tell him this, but he's going to flip a coin to determine who goes first.
Fair.
Yep. So I will tell you my character first, listeners. So my white card was, pick a movie character, and I thought they'd be outside the box. I'm going to pick Madea. So I'm going to pick Madea, and her abilities are, can take the form of anything water-based, as well as armed with nunchucks. That's right, you heard that right. Madea can take the form of anything water-based and has nunchucks. That's my character. Coach of Scientist, who's your character?
Well.
Uh-huh. I don't like the way you was looking at me. Crazy. Uh-huh.
Cat lady.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you're a white woman. Okay.
Why? You know, there's black cat ladies too. Why you gotta discriminate?
Moving on, what's your ability?
I mean, let's armed with a machine gun.
Uh-huh.
And I throw ninja stars.
Ah, so crazy, a crazy cat lady,
mm-hmm.
armed with a machine gun,
mm-hmm.
and throws ninja stars.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mrs. Smith, you ready to flip that coin to see who goes first?
Sure is. Who's gonna call? Who's gonna make the call?
I'll let the Coach of Scientist call what she wants.
Tails.
She wants tails.
It is heads.
All right. We'll go first. I feel like I can make a very strong argument. Oh, and listeners, one other part about this is that during those 30 seconds, they are uninterrupted. So while I am speaking, the Coach of Scientist cannot interrupt me and vice versa. And Mr. Smith will just have to listen and he'll make his vote based on just the arguments. Not what he personally thinks, just based on the argument. Mr. Smith, you got my clock ready?
Ready.
Does my mind sound nice?
1-2-1-2 You all good to go.
Yeah, real extra this season.
What you mean? I can't just stay the same. What you?
I'm just saying. I feel like there's like this extraness.
You got to. You got to start off the new season right, man. It's like that fresh energy. Like my knees are fresh. Like they, I've been chilled on my knees. I can stretch them out now. I got like maybe 2 strolls in me.
Culture scientist, it's like the first day of school of high school where you had them crisp Air Force Ones that were bright, spanking white. Oh,
yeah, man.
Oh, you're in the trenches. All right.
I appreciate it. All right. Go ahead and get my timer ready.
Timer is ready. You have 30 seconds on the clock. In 3-2-1 go.
So I have Madea, and you know, Madea already crazy. Like she always talks about, she has a piece, be still. She keeps a piece of steel on her. She always got that blanger. She got that blinky on her at all times. So she got a gown on her as well. But not only that, she can take the form of anything that is water-based. What makes up about 70-90% of the earth? Water. That's right. So water is going to basically be able to flood and drown her without her being able to do anything.
I wasn't supposed to respond to you.
I know it's for a dramatic effect.
But you just wasted time.
I didn't need to really do nothing. I could be the ocean and drown you.
Okay.
All right. Culture scientists, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. 3-2-1 begin.
Basically what you're saying is we have 2 crazy ass women going up against each other. But yeah, okay. She can take the form of water. Okay. Whoop-de-doo. I'll let my cats drink all her up. Okay. Listen, then I'm gonna throw her stars. Oh, whoop-de-doo, she got a little blinky. I know, peace be still, like she always say. Don't worry, I got a machine gun in this bitch. All right, you little peace be still, nothing. My ass, Madea, nothing.
So, Mrs. Smith, I'm gonna need you to let me know, who do you think won?
Man. I'm sorry, the peace be still, my ass took me out. I got to give it to the crazy cat lady on this one.
Although I don't appreciate this, listeners, please comment and let us know on social media whether or not you think who won in this fight. All I'm just going to say is, how you going to shoot something that's made of water, but that's just me. I don't know. That
didn't say that you stay water.
I about to say, you can really turn into ocean.
I didn't kill my cat.
I said it was going to drown you.
I didn't say I wouldn't kill my cats.
Ah, how are you not going to drown? How are your cats not going to drown?
Because I said they will lick you up.
The cats going to lick up the ocean? You up.
Listen.
Cats ain't but itty bitty. They got to worry about being chopped up at the age of 3. I ain't a crazy cat lady.
Never say how many cats I got.
How many she going to be able to have, baby?
Listen, uh-huh. I'm a rich, crazy ass cat lady.
Okay, so you got like 20.
I make the rules in this bitch.
You going to tell that to Madea?
Yes.
Madea gonna shoot you before you say nothing.
I'm Madea's sister.
I don't know about that. Madea ain't got no white sister.
You just keep claiming I'm white. There are black women with cats. Hello.
But they're not cat ladies.
You just not have met them.
No. I've met some, but they're not cat ladies. They just black.
Guys, just one quick thing.
I like turtles.
Okay, we just gonna go ahead and move forward.
All right, see, and listeners, and you wonder why we're going to move on, and you wonder why it took us so long to bring this game back. We can get really off on a tangent, but if you really want to be a part of this, or you have like suggestions, or you want to be part of a round of super fight, please let us know. Maybe we'll do a whole guest episode where listeners come on and do an argument of super fight.
That would be fun.
So we're also going to move into our first full segment, which is going to be I Just Think It's Funny. And for our first time listeners, I Just Think It's Funny is a segment where we take things from media, personal life, or whatever in between, and we share with everyone who's on the episode and let them know we just think certain things about it's funny. And this week we got one that's like, you do hear yourself, right? And then we have one where it's like, damn, I don't even know if it's just funny, it's just something we're just gonna have to talk about. So for those who are OG listener who listened back to the first season, we happened to bring up a conversation a while back about the episode with a, how do we describe her? She is deemed a hoe by some, a side chick by others.
I would say one of the original social media influencers.
Yeah, she's a collector of dicks. She's a collector of dicks. All right, so we All right. So Brittany Renner is a social media personality or social influencer who happened to get into the news on multiple occasions, mainly having to do with how she, her body, her sexy provocative things that she posts, as well as her relationship with celebrities, or the book that she put about seven different major celebrities that she had relations with, as well as the most current thing, which is her ex relationship with NBA player PJ Washington, where after they had been together, maybe like, I want to say maybe not even a year or so.
It was a year some change.
Yeah, right after they had a child together, like a few weeks later, they ended up separating. At least that's how some people would describe it. And it really kind of blew up because she has had a tendency to make statements that makes her sound like a gold digger or someone who's trying to trap a celebrity with a baby.
He's in the trap. He's in the trap.
So the reason why we bring this to you guys this episode is that she was on a, I guess, a podcast with another social media personality who I never thought I'd talk about him on this podcast, but he goes by the name of DJ Academic. We do not want him on the show, but that's for a whole nother reason. He basically has a sit-down conversation with her where they discuss the whole situation, as well as he makes a claim about her position and what he views her as, or what Black men may view her as. Mrs. Smith, play the first clip.
No, 18 and 20, 16 and 20.
He probably don't even know he's going to like the fuck. Wait, was he in the league at the time?
No, he was still at Kentucky. Okay.
And you're Brittany Renner, who he's seen all over the fucking media with these
people.
Okay,
so this is what I really get so fucking annoyed about is like, so when do you as men take accountability? You're old enough to ride this ride. You want to fuck with me. You want to come at me. You want to fuck me raw. So why are we babying men who make decisions for themselves? Like I told you, I was on birth control up until I had a conversation with my baby father. So what do you think happened? So
I imagine I got to
leg lock him. No, let me
stop. The maturity of men and women are different.
No, stop. No, it's because men and women are held to different standards. Y'all want to look at a 20-year-old who wanted to fuck. I was 26 when I met him. You want to fuck with me? Here's what it is. Nope, like, stop acting like someone had to pull the wool over his eyes. I was exactly who I am right now. And stop, let me finish.
I'm not even saying
I have no reason to lie about anything that I've done or the person that I am. And I believe in full transparency. The ideal relationship to me is for my partner to know everything about me. So please stop playing this victim narrative. If you wanted to just fuck me and just say she's trophy pussy, I hit Brittany Renner, that's that. Why did we have a baby? Our baby's name is Paul Jermaine Washington III. Does that sound like an oops baby? Does that sound like someone who was bamboozled? You asked me to move in with you. You wanted me to have your child at 20, 22 years old. And here we are. I told you I'm okay to wait. I'm not in a rush. I'm a very spiritual person. I trust in divine timing.
You trying to get married to him?
No, I'm not trying to. I just told you.
Were you?
I was. I thought that was my guy. And like, I don't know why it's so hard for y'all to believe that. Like in my mind, it's crazy to me that the age gap between Jay-Z and Beyonce, crickets. The age gap between Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan, it's crickets.
So listeners, to be fair, if you were to listen to these statements and the conversation that she's having, it is made very, like, those are like very valid points, and there are merit to those statements being made on their own. Where myself and Mrs. Smith, as we kind of prepared for the show, we did some more digging because we want to make sure that if we hear this, we want to make sure we explore all the information we can make a well-rounded decision. So in our research, to be prepared, because again, I told you, we're going to be professionals at some point during this podcast, and we did our research this time. So the reason why some may think this or may question the validity of her saying it, because a lot of times, sometimes it is the messenger, not the message, that has an effect on whether or not it is believable. So Brittany Renner, in one of her IG lives, I want to say either in the past or like this year. One of the two. I forget how long ago it was.
It was in the past. It was like a couple years ago. Like
so years. In the past. Ago. Like I think like either probably right around the same time or before she met PJ Washington.
Mm-hmm. It was before she met him.
Before she met him, or at least how she said that she met him, because apparently she had met him when he was still a freshman at Kentucky.
Yep.
So mind you, she was 26, he was 18.
No, she was 24, he was 18.
24, when 18,
they,
yes.
But when they started dating, she was 26, he was 20.
Okay. So we'll get back to that. So basically, during one of her IG Lives, she actually had this conversation where people were asking her questions, and it came up about, because she'd made her call to fame has had to do a lot with her sexual life and who she has sexually been with or dated, as a lot of social media influencers are. So she proceeds to have this, not a tirade, but a airing of truths, airing of grievances, or airing of facts about herself. And there is a morsel that I want to touch on in just a moment. Go ahead, Mrs. Smith.
I want to know my body count. I don't know why in like 2018, that's any of your fucking business or why it matters. But 24, 11 athletes.
Woo!
5 entertainers.
Woo!
8 regular guys.
Woo!
I've only fucked 3 regular guys since I've been Instagram famous because a lot of y'all run your fucking mouths too much. I don't want to be sending you a video 1 minute, the next minute.
I see me spread eagle on the timeline playing with my pussy.
In my experience, the worst people to deal with are the athletes. None of them use condoms, really. So if y'all really want to try to come up off a check off a man, I mean, you could just fuck an athlete. They're really dumb.
So now again, validity to what being said withstanding, because we can, if you want to just acknowledge that in of itself, cool. Athletes have a track record making dumb decisions. But again, it starts to bring, it starts to create a little bit of, it should. It's starting to bring up a little bit of smoke. So we have started to, I feel like I can confidently say in my research that there is a trend that if you are in these spaces and you understand the game as well as she is communicating on trying to put women or some men, because there are some cases where men have trapped women with a child. So it brings it to my attention. Yes.
I was gonna ask, how do you trap a woman with a child? But I answered it in my own, like, it's kind of the same question, how you rape a man. Get it?
Yeah.
But I got you. Okay, continue.
So it would be different, like, mind you, that was 2018 that she said, and this is fast forward to, I want to say she had another IG Live, which she does fairly often because that's how they kind of engage and continues to build their fan base. She had an IG Live after she had already split with her child's father, and she proceeded to go on another conversation where, again, there are two things can be right at the same time. Some of the stuff that she says is true, but there's also things where it's like, this is coming from you, so I'm also questioning the validity of what you are saying. Mrs. Smith, play the next clip.
Hey, y'all. Hi. It's officially stepdaddy season. Yeah, what up? I got the car seat in the back. Let's go to the park. Don't let your baby mama or your baby daddy block your blessings. I know in theory it sounds good keeping the same person to have kids with, but that's insanity as well. So if it doesn't work out with them, it'll work out with someone else.
So again, the statement in and of itself, yes. But it's like, it continued, like, I hear it, but there's something that is in my eternal clock, or my, I guess maybe in my belief system or my values, that's making me very look at it with a twinge of, I hear you, but something don't seem right. And going back to another earlier point that I said, the young man that she is dealing with, the baby's father, was named by PJ Washington. I've said it before. He was 18 years old at the University of Kentucky when he met this young lady. Or, well, is she? She's not 30 now, is she? Or is she about to be 30?
She'll be 30, I think, next year, if not in the year after.
So she's about our age. I don't know about Mr. Smith. He old like Methuselah. But so when you met him at this age and you have somewhat of a cultural or social following, you are the bigger star of the two at that moment. And him being 18-year-old, seeing a very attractive, that's not up for debate, very attractive woman that expressed interest in him showing up to his games, it, of course he's going to be interested, because there's this whole fantasy, which is a whole nother subject of young men being with older women and it being fantasized, whereas it is rightfully so demonized or rightfully held accountable that a younger woman with an older man. Flashback to the last bonus episode, if you listen to that, we talked about that in a really fucked up situation. But it makes it very questionable about the intentions, because you add in her saying stuff about before she met PJ Washington to trap an NBA player by having sex with him because they have, or a professional athlete having raw sex with them because they don't wear condoms. You kind of get what I'm saying, because I feel like I'm trying to weave together and explain the narrative. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so okay. One, you can be polite as you can, because this is not in reference to the Truth and Transparency podcast. I'm gonna be the rude one. In her case, of the person that she is.
One thing about me is I'm a hoe.
Just, you know, I'm gonna call it what it is, okay? It is a really bad look when you're talking about, oh, I had this conversation with my baby father. That was my guy. I felt like I was going to marry him, right? Yet, no sooner is the baby born do you file for divorce. And then on top of that, you take him for child support immediately after, and you are awarded $200,000 a month. I'm going to say that again, $200,000 a month. When you talk about the fact that, oh, that was my guy, oh, I didn't want to trap him, da, 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 we had a conversation. Okay, we can put blame on him because, you know, you should have known better. However, the street goes both ways. If you are ready to have a...
I think we're having a little bit of audio issue. But I think you're trying to say, if you're willing to have unprotected sex with this young man, then you have to be able to take responsibility, even being an older person. If you don't want to have raw sex with this person, then, don't have raw sex with them.
Right. Then you're talking about, oh, well, you want to have stepdaddy season and all that. You started dating this guy when you were 26 and he was 20. That is borderline R. Kelly stuff. That is almost, not as bad as last week, but close enough to it. And so I'll bring your attention to, and I'm showing the culture scientist and Brother X this. This is off of her page, off her Twitter, that she tweeted. This was October 15th, 2021, 9:14 p.m. This tweet says, "Hi, Jackson State, hide your sons." If you don't know, Jackson State University is a university that will have some of the best athletes coached by Deion Sanders, which age ranges from 18 to 21. At this time, she's 29. People, this is not right. You have people, and academics said something that was clear where he says, men mature different than women. Women mature faster than men. So why in the hell is your 29-year-old ass trying to scoop another athlete? Now, if you want to scoop them, do like the rest of the IG hoes do. Go to All-Star Weekend. Go to Pro Bowl. Go to those type of places where you have to actually put up with your weight class. Stop being a heavyweight fighting in a straw weight class. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to do it, do it in your weight class.
Saying is, if you're going to compete in your own bracket.
Right.
You ain't competing. You ain't top dog.
Like, yeah. And here's my thing, to your point, even if you are you have now turned full heel and you are playing into the villain and you're posting this, like, you got to read the room, because it is a very real thing. Like, she spoke about being like the double standard of Jay-Z and Beyonce, which I don't feel like that's necessarily the same analogy. That's a whole nother thing. Or Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan. But
she sounds jealous.
like, okay, that's fair. She sounds jealous. But it's also one of the things where it's like, if the roles were reversed And we've seen this on a very extreme scale with R. Kelly. If this was a male social media influencer doing that to, say, Candace Parker or another famous
Liz Cambridge
player. I'm sorry?
Liz Cambridge.
Yeah, Liz Cambridge. And if he was doing that to her, you would say that he was Kevin Federline in this shit. He was trying to do like how Kevin Federline did Britney. Word to Cat Williams.
Woo! Damn, I heard that name is so long.
I know myself and Mrs. Smith have talked about this a lot. I would like a woman's perspective on this. Coach of Scientist, what are your thoughts on the matter?
So first and foremost, as a woman, we need to own our own responsibility in what we do when we lay down with a man or a woman. Because you choose to open your legs. Point blank, period.
Fair.
Yes, there's other things that can occur that cause other things, but if we're talking about the black and white scenarios, you decide to open your legs.
Right.
So if you are going to be a hoe and you're fine with being a hoe, claim that you're going to be a hoe. Just be a hoe.
Right.
Be who you are. Don't talk about, because she does sound very, I don't know much about her. First off, I really don't like the fact that she looks different in every single picture. It bothers me.
Fair.
That picture that you just posted, I was like, that's the same person. Mm-hmm. That bothered me. She looks different in every picture, and like,
she was trying to look wholesome.
She doesn't look wholesome.
Emphasis on the wholesome part.
But she's not, like you said, she's not wrong from her point. So when it comes to like, men mature differently, absolutely. But why would you, first off, you clearly are not looking for a husband. I don't care what you are saying right now. I don't care if at this point in your time, you think you want a husband. You are clearly not looking for a husband if you are shopping.
No, you said it right.
At least, no, I'm stick with the shopping.
I'm agreeing with you. That's a good word.
The part I'm pausing on is, okay, was I dated a 24-year-old guy when I was, was he 24? No, he was 21.
Okay.
And I was 18.
Okay.
And that enough for me was annoying because it came down to the line of, hey, you're stuck. And he happened to be stuck 4 years ago. And he was older than me.
Right.
So I can only imagine it being flipped. And not all women are mature. That's right. Fine. But like, we do have some sense of such and such. So I really want to know what damaged her.
Well, I mean, maybe we examine the book and all this other stuff.
Because that's really...
Well, I mean, I feel like...
Because it's fine if she wants to go shopping in the baby market. You know, that's fine. They're technically legal. So if that's what you want to do. And as her point to athletes are stupid about it, I'm sorry, I completely agree with that statement. Because, like, it's years and repeat. Politicians, athletes, who else?
Entertainers.
We have been shown time and time, and I'm not even talking about normal people. Let's just normal people in general. Come on, y'all. Yes. But it's been shown time and time again. Your name is in the lights. You do anything that's wrong, it's going to be out there. And then you expect to not be dragged through the mud. Get over it. Your name is going to be dragged through the mud till you make a decision on what you want to do in your life and how exactly. You have a son now. Is this the reputation you want to leave for your son?
No, that's fair. So, I mean, there's a lot. There's a way more levels to kind of delve into this. But I think the main point I think we all come across is that although we get the points that she's being made, it's like, own if you're going
to own your shit.
I hate that I've done this back-to-back weeks, but look at the example of Kyrie Irving. He has made a point. He has believed in a point. He has taken the steps and the actions to follow through on those points, and he has walked the walk and talked the talk. Even if we may disagree, he has walked the walk and talked the talk, where it's like people want to, like I said last week, people want to be able to have the benefits of being viewed one way without having to do the actual steps and work to be seen that way legitimately.
He learned from Colin Kaepernick, but at least I support Colin Kaepernick's stand.
You want to know that most? You want to know the most ironic thing is
what?
To bring things full circle.
What?
In the book that she talks about all those dudes that she slept with or had relations with, Mm-hmm. Guess who was one of those dudes?
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick.
Mm, that's funny.
That life comes at you fast.
Yeah. But I do want to say, honey, watch out what you say about Beyonce, okay? I'm just saying. You don't be over here comparing your relationships to Beyonce's relationship. That's a whole different thing. And people have, for your information, young lady, people have talked about the age difference between Beyonce and Jay-Z ad nauseum. You just clearly didn't pay attention.
Or you just brought it up when it was convenient.
And the, what was the other one she said?
Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan.
What's their age difference?
Well, Michael B. is like, Michael B. is like in his 30s.
Yeah, he has to be in his 30s because he was a teen on The Wire. That was in 98. So
right, like all the same, like mind you, yeah, there's still an age gap, but it's people done, and we're gonna get off this because we've been on this long enough. Like we have people weren't getting on the age thing until you gave off the appearance or your behaviors and what you have said and the persona that you put out gave off the vibes that you were grooming this young man. So when he became a professional athlete, was a first round draft pick in the NBA to the Charlotte Hornets, that you became and actually had a full-blown relationship with him. And it would be irresponsible for us to not think that you weren't aware that this is how it's going on, because you have literally spoken ad nauseum about putting people on the game or talking about the game.
Okay. Yes, I went and Googled. So Lori Harvey was born in 1997. So what, that's 24?
24, yeah.
And Michael B. is about our age?
Roughly, I would say.
That's maybe not that bad. Honey, unfortunately, as you politely stated, it is a double standard. And when it is flip-flopped, it is a little bit weirder. So get over it.
And I'm going to just end on this note. Take advice from your best friend, Tiana Trump. Just own your shit. That's all.
So I don't know where this podcast has gone where we're listening to... Older. We are listening to Kyrie Irving, or following the example of Kyrie Irving and Tiana Trump. How do we get here?
I have an answer for that.
Stupidity.
My name is Jeff.
That's how we got here.
All right, moving on. All right. So getting into something that is a little more of on a sadder note, first and foremost, for those who aren't familiar, a recent event just happened out in Texas, correct?
Yes.
So out in Texas, or Houston, Texas, where hip hop artist Travis Scott hosted his event called Astroworld Festival. And to kind of run through this, kind of just talk about it, first and foremost, our prayers and thoughts go out to all the families who were affected by the tragedy. And for those who aren't familiar, the music festival happened where it was set up. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith, you said you were going to talk about this. Go ahead.
No, that's cool. So basically, Astroworld is, I believe, his annual festival, kind of like J. Cole at Dreamville Fest or something of that nature.
Sorry, listen, we apologize. I'm not quite sure what's going on with the audio. Go ahead, Ms. Smith.
Okay. So basically, they had the event, Astroworld. They had the tickets back in May, and it sold out. Quick, 50,000 tickets. So when the date finally came, the issue was that a lot of, I'll say, patrons decided to be a little more on the extreme side. So one of the police officers, or one of the police chiefs and fire chiefs, actually talked to Travis and was like, hey, you might want to like brief up security or make sure everything is good, because like this might not end the way you want it to end. So of course, I believe social media, I think Friday, was all the rage, because all you saw was videos of all of these teens. There was also people that was older than 21, but there's a lot of people between the ages of range from 14 all the way to 30 rushing the VIP entrance. And mind you, there's only a handful of officers. So it's like one officer for every 100 or 1,000 patrons. If anybody, y'all have seen, I ain't gonna give that example. Anywho, so later on, the issue was you had 50,000 people packed into a standing room only location. And basically, a lot of people passed away, or some people passed away because of what was called crowd surging. And what that means, people, is think of it like an accordion. As you compress the accordion, everything compacts in, and then you can try to press it out if things open back up. But that was when Travis Scott was getting ready to come on stage. Everyone rushes to the stage. If you're in the middle, you're getting pushed with them. Your chest is getting compressed with the people because you're moving like sardines. Well, of course, if you do that, your heart's going to pump a little bit faster. You're not going to be able to work as well. Some people are going to go to cardiac arrest. So unfortunately, I believe it was nine people that passed away from either being trampled because everyone was trying to rush to the stage, or the compression of not being able to breathe because you're sandwiched between too many people and you can't, your lungs are not being able to take in air in order for your vital functions to keep going. Along with that, I know we're going to get into more of the nuts and bolts of it, but the summary of it was people that are enjoying the concert, if you see that there is a medical emergency, stop blocking people from doing their job. There was a medical ATV that tried to come onto the property in order to get those people out of there safely, and patrons were blocking it because it's Astro World. Oh no, we're raging when people are actually dying. And then the only other thing I'm gonna say, and then I'll give the floor back to you guys, is it's a pan fucking demic. We talked about this with Lollapalooza. We talked about this with all the festivals. Why are you guys going in to this festival with no mask and compact like sardines? Make it make sense. I don't understand it.
One is Texas. So true. You already know Texas don't know how to do right. They, them in Florida be neck and neck sometimes.
Waiting for you
to say Florida. Florida just does a lot. But I guess my initial thoughts, because I mean, you very much summarized the situation, but it's just like, there's at points, because me, myself and the culture scientist, one of the things that I'll tell briefly that her and I experienced was, this was our first music festival together when we went to Dreamville Fest a few years back. And we weren't close to like up front, but we were still relatively near the front of the crowd. And when it got to the point when J. Cole came out to start performing, we literally went from being, oh, it's kind of tight but comfortable, to being like squished, like Mrs. Smith talked about with Astro World. And it went from being a little uncomfortable to like myself and the culture scientists were arguing with each other for a quick moment because we both felt uncomfortable, like our heart rates are up and all that was happening. And we had to, and thank the culture scientists, you had to remind me that it's not us, it's crowded, we are feeling a little uncomfortable, all that stuff happens. So we can definitely understand and know what it feels like to be in that moment, but we also know in that same festival, ourselves and Nurse Joy, one of our previous guests, we were all waiting to get food earlier that day, and then there was this young lady who passed out.
Right in front of us.
But proper planning and proper preparation and people being decent human beings, instead of people, like, mind you, this person passed out in the middle of the line for food, instead of people like not moving because they don't want to lose their spot in line and being they got out the way, they flagged down the health people, and they helped make sure, and Nurse Joy made sure that person was good until the other trained professionals were there. And mind you, that's how it should happen in a normal circumstance. But the fact that there are so many videos and multiple lawsuits, and the fact that there are some reports that saying that Travis Scott continues to perform even after being made aware of it, or he stopped multiple times, there are certain points that it just sounds like poor planning, lack of accountability, and then having to recognize the view or the like scope of the whole situation in order to be able to be like, no, I need to make this right. I fucked up. I need to address this. Hold on, Mr. Smith. I'm going to let Coach Sciences, you have something before I let Mr. Smith come back in?
No, not particularly. I agree with everything y'all said. Like, first off, again, I'm just going to start off. We're in a pandemic. Come on, be a little bit more mindful.
right,
be a little bit more. My stance in all of life, I've realized, is we all just want to be treated like humans, so we need to do better. And us as a society, we do a horrible job. And this is a perfect example.
Yeah. Like, people thinking like, oh, no, they're fine, man. They just pass out drunk. They don't know how to hold their liquor. Dog, even if they don't know how to hold their liquor and they're passed out, that person can die from liquor by being, like, their blood alcohol level being too high. Like, we're going to get to it a little bit later, but, yo, it's not that deep. Like, it's a concert. Like, God forbid, like, when we go to Dreamville Fest, we see something like this happen, dog, a person's life is more important than a concert or a spot in line or a pair of J's or a TV. Like, a person's life is invaluable. Or maybe we've forgotten that as a society. But that's a soapbox thing for another day.
I agree, because, like, the perfect example is the COVID in general. The pandemic,
right?
It's shown a lot of light on people and how they think about other people. We're all very much on me, 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 and that's okay, because, like, we have to take care of ourselves
in doses, yeah,
in doses. But, like, as a larger thing, you're complaining, and I'm just gonna say, like, you're complaining about not taking the vaccine. That's fine, but please take a moment and think about, okay, the consequences. And I'm just using that as an example.
No, that's fair. All right, Mr. Smith, go ahead and bring us home.
Yeah, just two quick things. One, like we all said, please be human beings and understand that all these things that the culture scientists and Brother X have said can be replaced. Your life cannot. The second thing, I'm not going to do like everybody else and put the entire blame on Travis Scott, because he is the headliner. And you got to also remember, people, Travis Scott on a platform or a stage like that is looking out into 50,000 people. I don't know if you ever looked out into 50,000 people, but you could probably only see like maybe 4 or 5 rows back, and that's about it. So you're talking what? Maybe 100 people? Now multiply that by 500 times. You're not gonna be able to see if someone's passed out in the back. So you gotta put the blame on the organizers. You gotta put the blame on security. You gotta put the blame on the people that planned it. Now, I'm not saying that Travis Scott shouldn't get any blame. He should still get blame.
Right.
But make sure that you hit the people that need to get hit. The entertainment companies, the planning organizers, all of them. Because if they make it right, as I said, proper planning and proper placements, would you be fine, then this doesn't happen. But, hey, sorry for the people that lost their lives. My condolences.
Gotcha. Yeah, man. So that's just it's a really tough situation, but we're going to go ahead and switch lanes. We're going to power through this, because I really want to get to our topic. So next segment is Share Truth with the Class, where we take some other stories that we share that we just want kind of people to kind of be aware of. And real briefly, I want to touch on some athletes who are making support choices. So literally, hold on 1 sec. It's just literally you have Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He recently tested positive for COVID-19. And the reason why this is making headlines, not because he tested for COVID-19, is that he did an interview back in August where he was asked a question whether or not he had received the vaccine or was vaccinated, and he proceeded to say that he was immunized. Now, please keep in mind the wording that he chose to use. So he's made the statement. They said, everybody took him at his word. They thought, oh, you must have received the vaccine or whatever the case may be, and they moved on. So when he tested positive for COVID-19, it brought up the questions of, okay, what's going on? Even though we all know that even if you have the vaccine, that doesn't mean that you can't still contract the virus. But information that came out, it was said that no, Aaron Rodgers had been deemed by the NFL, and based on the collectively bargained agreement by the Players Association, that he was deemed as unvaccinated since the beginning of the season. And where there was a big concern that came up was one of the requirements is that he had to wear a mask in certain facilities, had to have a certain level of testing, and also wear his mask in front of the media. Well, if you know anything about being a star athlete, you're in front of the media all the time, and there are multiple videos and multiple weeks of his season where he's seen without a mask. Which brings the question, so you know these guidelines because you went on your boy's podcast, which he used as his personal platform to spew misinformation and already debunk, theorize, and like conspiracy theories, to basically talk about how, yeah, I was aware of the rules, but since it's a super rule, I'm not going to abide by it. We already know how that's going to go. We don't even have time to get into it. But needless to say, it was just, you wanted to be slick. You didn't, you in your mind didn't think that you lied. You omitted information so that, again, going to the point we talked about earlier, you want to not be held accountable. You want to be able to have the benefits of being someone who is vaccinated or deemed as vaccinated, but you don't want to take the necessary steps. You can't have it both ways, which I'm seeing, and I've seen multiple times, is just almost as American as apple pie. Damn. Like that's probably the simplest way I can put it. But that's one thing. Another truth that I want to share with the class, and I hate to be a downer before we switch lanes, is about Henry Ruggs. So for those who are not familiar, Henry Ruggs is a former NFL wide receiver for the Las Vegas Raiders. About a few, 1 or 2 weeks back.
Congress, it's time. It's time to face the climate crisis.
We've got to stop the ad reads. But Henry Ruggs, very sad and very unfortunate, got into a horrible car accident where he was driving, which is still crazy for me to hear. He was driving 156 miles per hour with a blood alcohol, a blood alcohol content level of 1 point, I forget the exact number, but he was in no shape to be driving and literally hit, I won't say it wasn't a parked car, but he hit a woman in her car and literally sent the car flying 500 feet. Listen to this, who can't imagine it in their mind, that is almost the equivalent of a football field. Like, that's crazy. And literally killed the woman, not necessarily even on impact, but the car caught on fire and she's literally trapped in her car burning because you chose to, in another report that showed, decided to take 18 shots of liquor and then decided to hop in your Corvette and try to drive home. Mind you, not only did you do that, but you didn't make good life choices because you had a gun in the car and you also had, I think, his significant other, I don't know if it's a girlfriend or his wife, was in the car with him as well. So you're speeding beyond belief. Like, you're beyond reckless driving. Like, you have felony charges now. You literally had blood alcohol level, which you could have died of alcohol poisoning. You literally took the life of a woman and her dog. And then you put you put your significant other's life at risk at the same time. It's just like, dog.
Yeah.
What is going on with you? Go ahead.
So with the fact that, number one, allegedly, he did up to 18 shots at Top Golf while I guess he was out on a date night with his girlfriend. And he decided to drive 156 miles an hour on a side street. I don't even understand what is the point of you driving well over 100 miles an hour. Like, if you're on a highway, it's dark, it's late. Okay, cool. But
our highway even set up like that, yeah.
You are our resident Las Vegas person.
Our highways are not. What highway? Does it say what highway?
It doesn't.
That's what I want to know, because you couldn't be on 15. I'm sorry. I'm really getting real specific, but I'm like, we have lights. Like, what you doing? I'm sorry, I'm mad. I'm just real mad about that, especially because now in general the Raiders, everything about the Raiders is messing up. So and it messes up the economy in Vegas.
Well, I mean, it's crazy because you know what's really ironic was the reason why it was took so long for a sports team to get to Las Vegas is that people were worried about how the athletes were living that type of lifestyle there.
Actually, yes, that was part of it, but also it had to do with the revenue because we had gambling. We didn't need sports.
That's very true. So, I mean, it's just crazy how
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, even when I was a teenager, they had All-Star Weekend there. We could not handle that.
I believe that. But I just want to make sure that I put that out there that, you know, one, you're driving 156 miles an hour on the street and you crash into this woman who was walking her dog she was in the car with her dog and now both of them are dead. Secondly, you've injured your girlfriend in the process of doing that because you were doing reckless driving. Thirdly, I forgot to mention, why do you have a loaded gun in your car, bruh? You are an NFL player making millions of dollars. Why do you guys have a loaded gun in the car? Why? What is the point? Are you feel like somebody's going to run up on you? Do you have all that money? Why don't you hire security? You see Floyd Mayweather walks around. That man is worth billions, and he has security with him all the time. Why don't y'all do that?
Why don't you have a driver?
Facts. You got all that money. Get a driver if you're going to drink like that. You know there's such a thing as Uber, Lyft. Uber Pool, Uber Black.
You have car services that are a step above that you can literally pay and hire. And you're talking about this in Vegas. You tell me there aren't any type of car service you could have hired that night.
Apparently not. And then the last thing I'm going to bring up, going back to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, bruh, like, are you serious? I'm immunized and you followed your... Man, just...
You done messed up, Aaron.
Again, Aaron Rodgers. Seriously.
You done messed up, Aaron.
That's all I gotta say to that. You have the epitome of white privilege because you literally went on a show and said my choice to not get vaccinated and to be immunized by this other stuff is the equivalent of Martin Luther King saying we should rise above and not take our orders from these other people. You just equated a black struggle of slavery and oppression to a fucking vaccine. I want to strangle you.
Become politicized.
I want to strangle you. And you are such a great quarterback. And if you would have just shut your mouth and retired, I'd have been fine. Even Drew Brees didn't mess up, but he ain't messed up this bad. But
he messed up and was like, "Yeah, I'm not trying to be in the NFL. I'm going to retire."
And that's the smart thing to do. And now Aaron probably going to have to do that now because. Dog, that's going to live with you. I don't care that you want to ring, go beating the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you anyway. But now you're known for, you lied about the vaccine and you equated it to black struggle. Yeah, whatever.
Like, we're not even going to give credence to stuff he talked about, who he went to talk about the immunized, because that was a whole nother thing. But if we remember, we'll put the links to that information in the show notes. It's just the truth that I want to share with the class is that professional athletes, whether it is in your dating life, your personal life, or in your personal health, just own your actions and be more considerate of those who are affected by it. It's that simple. But we're going to take a minute to kind of decompress and really take a breather before we get into this week's topic. So what we're going to do now is our Black Business Highlight. And for those who are first-time listeners and who haven't listened to our previous episodes, please go back and listen to those, of course, because those are very important to listen to. But we always like to try to take time out of each episode and to highlight a Black business that we think that you should be aware of. And in this week, we're actually going to revisit one which is actually very near and dear to our hearts that's actually been shout out once before, but we want to give them another shout out because they have a really dope I guess an event in their stage of their business that we really wanted to highlight. Mm-hmm. So, Coach of Scientist, can you let them know which one that is?
So, real quick, Indulge Catering is a catering business here in the Raleigh-Durham area. They're owned by this lovely couple, two chefs, and one is a Zeta. So shout out. Hey, whole team. Is also an alum from the Shaw University. So, you know, shout out to my home team.
She's a Zeta Bear.
She's a Zeta Bear. Yes. And we actually catered Malcolm's Brother X's birthday dinner last year. And it came out real good. The food was bomb.
It was bomb.
Listen. So we want to give a special shout out to them because they've been in the works for a couple of years. They've been doing caterings. They also have like a YouTube channel where they teach a little things about cooking. But coming this Friday, this past Wednesday.
I'm about to say, by the time that you hear this, we have already attended this event. I'm sorry.
So on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, they had a ribbon cutting ceremony for their brand new building, so you can actually physically go visit them to eat their food and their wonderful food. And the following, this upcoming Friday, actually is the grand opening for people to come, and the Culture Scientists and the Brother X will be there.
We'll be in attendance.
Yeah, we'll be in attendance just to be able to say we support. So go check them out. They're a great company here. They also sell spices. Like I said, check their YouTube channel out. This is Indulge Catering NC. You can find them on Instagram. And from there, you can branch out to all of their resources. And of course, all this will be in the show notes.
Yep. So shout out to Indulge Catering, man. Friend of the pod. Love you guys. Thank you so much. The food was bomb. Appreciate you.
They've been voted upon as WRL's Voters' Choice Awards. They've been nominated a lot throughout the Raleigh-Durham area.
They're doing big things, man. So if you're in the area, man, please come check them out. Support Black business, which is always so important, man. And we got to celebrate the victories, man. Having your own building for your business. And I'm looking at the video right now. Like, this food looks phenomenal. Like, we're talking about grade A. Chef Ramsey, who?
Did they just meet India Ari?
See, I thought we was professional, but okay. All right, so yes, that's Indulge Catering in the RDU. So let's go ahead and switch lanes.
We cheat on you with her.
What? We are talking about a Black
business. I'm sorry. I got distracted by
India Ari. We are not Will and Jada Pinkett Smith.
I got distracted by India.
We are not Will and Jada Pinkett Smith. What you doing?
I'm sorry.
This ain't August no more. We in November.
No shave November.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of late for that. All right. But we're going to go ahead and get to this week's topic. This week's topic, if you've seen the show, the title of the episode, it was something that I found very interesting that I was sitting down and thinking about a recent experience that I observed with some people that I knew, as well as just kind of thinking about reflecting on myself and the topic of self-sabotage and negatively speaking or self-talking about yourself or self-talk is something that I feel like I wanted us as a podcast to kind of discuss. So to help us get in the mind frame, let's go ahead and look at the definition. First is self-sabotage refers to behaviors or thought patterns that hold you back and prevent you from doing what you want to do. Coach of Scientists, when you hear that, what does that make you think?
About the self-sabotage?
It's about the self-sabotage, yes.
That everybody does it.
Okay.
So in some form or fashion, everybody does it. Be it career, money, love, it's always friendships, independent. I mean, sometimes it's necessary, sometimes it's not. And there's a wide range.
Okay. I guess for me, I would say self-sabotage is putting limits on your ability to grow and to expand who you are as a person. They're self-imposed a lot of times because you are afraid to take that leap and to get into the unknown, to be uncomfortable. I believe self-sabotage is the door that prevents you from being uncomfortable. Yes.
Playing devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Sometimes is self-sabotage actually protection?
Can it be? Yeah, but I also feel like if it's not active, I feel like that is more, I think that's a good point. I have to think about that. Mr. Smith, what are your initial thoughts?
Basically that, you know, for self-sabotage, kind of agree that at one point in time, everyone has done it, whether it's a job, a person, a relationship. You have the confidence in the beginning that you are wanting to do this. You have the means, you have everything that you need. And then that voice in your head's like, nah, you can't do this. You can't do this at all. And you know, everyone at some point has that. So I kind of look at it as something that is always unspoken about, but needs to be talked about more in this day and age in order to become better, I guess, more sufficient in life as far as like being open to all any and all possibilities.
Okay. So as we kind of think about self-sabotage, it's just, I think that when we get into situations that we don't necessarily have a place to pull from, like experiences or tools in our toolkit to be able to address the emotional and the like direct needs to handle a situation, I believe self-sabotage, or the other point of negative self-talk, is something that we lean into because it's easier, it's more comfortable. It's easier for someone to say, I don't think I can do this. I wasn't going to be able to do it anyway. I never do this. I'm not good at doing this to begin with. I don't even know why I tried. It's easier for some people to do that than to say, this is something new to me. Although I am nervous or uncomfortable, I'm willing to put myself out there in order to see if I can take on this next challenge. I can take on this new opportunity to grow or to handle it in a way that I wouldn't normally necessarily handle before.
So what I'm hearing is self-reflection, self-reflection, self-reflection.
I guess potentially, yeah. I mean, ultimately, I think that sometimes that self-reflection doesn't happen until after the sabotage actually occurs.
True.
Because the reason why people end up having the need to reflect is because it's the definition of insanity. If someone keeps sabotaging, let's use relationships. If you are in a relationship and you are purposely always looking for something wrong, whether it is at the beginning of a relationship, a couple of years down the line, a few months, or whenever you realize, oh no, it's not that they're doing something wrong. It's literally everything to do with, I really am about to let my guard down around this person. Before I even I can even get close to him, I'm about to hit that ejecto seat and I gotta find any little thing. Oh, he didn't text me back this one time that I was texting him and he must have been with that other chick. Or she got way too many guy friends. I don't like that. Yeah, this is why I don't even think this is going to work in the first place. I don't even know why I tried.
It's really important to speak things into existence and right. Speak life into like your goals and stuff. Like a good example is like my big dream. I'm terrified of my big dream. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I have probably done a couple self-sabotages on the road. But not on purpose, of course. I don't think it's not always on purpose.
It's a defense mechanism.
Defense mechanism. But sometimes it's good to push past that self-sabotage and like take a moment and take a breather.
Yeah. So getting to, I think we kind of touched on a little bit, is that self-negative talk. Let's take an example. Or we can kind of look at this, like, it can be in different forms. Like, it can sound grounded, like, I'm not good at this, so I should avoid attempting it for my own personal safety, or I'm never doing anything right. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to say, being humble sometimes can come off as the negative self-talk.
Oh yeah, no, prime example. I'll think about this before the recording. You know, I have this bad habit or this negative self-talk of, before I met the culture scientist, and Mrs. Smith can attest to this, I used to say, ain't nobody checking for me.
You still say it.
Wow. All right, but I'm in a relationship. I would hope nobody's checking for me. I'm very happy and committed. Is she still in the room?
But I'm just saying.
I'm blinking twice because I need help.
All right. You're saying a lot still.
But no, I'm not. I would agree. No, it's a very real thing where it's like you recognize that you kind of almost put limits on myself where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not ugly, but I'll say, yeah, I'm medium ugly. I'm some medium ugly. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm attracted to some people, but that doesn't mean I'm attracted to others. But it's also where it's like, you try to almost, the minute you give yourself a compliment, you say something negative to take away from it because you're nervous or you're not confident enough to stand on that statement. Like, yeah, I'm a pretty dope ass podcaster. And not say right after that, for someone who has X amount of listeners.
That's like, let me see. I'm a great photographer. Although there is somebody else better than me. Like, that part's okay.
Right.
But, you know, I don't belittle your work for somebody else, comparing yourself to somebody else. Because everybody else's journey is different than yours.
Exactly. So whether it's me calling myself ugly or whether it's a coach scientist photography, Mr. Smith, do you have any examples?
Yeah, for me, I used to always say, you know, I'm okay, but I'm not the best programmer. You know, like I'm an IT person and, you know, there's people that at the time I used to be like, oh, my small school can't equate to those bigger schools, right? So I kind of always told myself like, oh, well, you're not going to be able to match the level of these tech people. And that would psych myself out of basically limiting my ability to believe in myself.
Okay. It's just the negative self-talk thing is that it goes into, it's like the phrase, like, you're your own worst critic. Because you are so in tune, like if you are doing the steps that you're doing, you're so in tune with who you are, you know what your weaknesses are better than anyone else because you live with them. You are sometimes the creator of those weaknesses or those things that you have to work on. So when you start to bring them up, you start speaking on them, you take the focus off the potential and the ability to go beyond, go past those things and to venture into the unknown. And try to see what is this new version of who I can be? Who is this better version? Whether it's my friendships. I'll give a prime example. I used to always gonna be like, I always used to, and sometimes I still speak like this, where it's like, I used to say I was always the outsider looking in.
I say that about
me. With my friendships. And I had to learn that in order for me to stop being the outsider, I had to take some chances. I had to put myself out there and try to lead some things within my friends or take the lead in certain things in order for things that I thought they'd be really cool and to help cater and grow my relationship with those people and not just always be at the mercy or to let the other person lead the friendship or guide the friendship in the direction that we were looking for or what they thought should be going, you know? So it's just, it's a really tough thing because the really tough parts I would say about it has to do with when you're by yourself, when you don't have friends around, when you don't have people who are holding you accountable and saying, dog, shut the hell up. You not ugly. You can read good. People actually like you. And you need to stop saying that and speaking that over you because as we've said before, words matter. Just like if you tell a kid all their life, they ain't shit, ain't gonna be shit, ain't gonna do shit. What do you think they're gonna turn into? An ain't shit nigga. Like, yes, you take personal responsibility, but if I never hear I'm worth something, I never hear that I have value, that I have value outside of the potential of my DNA of being Black excellence, and that I could go out and do other things, I'm never going to be able to grow past that. Yes, Coach of Sciences?
Agreed. 1,000% agreed. I was going to say something else, though, in reference to what you were saying.
Go ahead.
Of course, because I like to go super deep when I can. Question that comes to mind, and this is something we could probably discuss at a later point, because I think this is a good topic to continue upon. Us as African-Americans, we could probably say this about all cultures, but focusing on African-Americans, we could probably say self-sabotage is built in, and it's something like the curse that we have to fight, and we have to...
A generational curse?
It's a generational curse that we have to be able to, like, fight against. Mm. And we're just getting, I mean, the whole, I think is what the Black is Beautiful campaign and all these people now that are going natural, that is all like the self-sabotage is that aspect are going with. And it's like that campaign to move forward and to get away from negative self-talk.
To kind of push past those preconceived notions or those rules and guidelines of, oh yeah, success and beauty looks like this. And you have to stay in this box. When you learn to step outside the box, you're like, oh, I could be successful with locks. I could be successful with my natural kinky and curly hair. I could be natural being however old and still helping sound design the podcast. But it's just one of those things. And I think that's a very good point. And then I think I want to put a pin in that and then we can come back to it, is that when we, I guess, it's not even self-sabotage. I think it's that I'll put it this way. It is a point where we just don't allow ourselves to be great and to live in our greatness. And to live in, yo, this is dope. Like, we need to stop putting qualifiers based on other preconceived notions. Yes.
I'm smiling.
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted to say something.
I'm just smiling. I'm listening and smiling and agreeing.
Cause like, yo, people, I love y'all for whoever's listening, but you have to take time and examine, is there a goal or something that you are trying to achieve, you've been trying to work towards for a long time, and you always thought to yourself, man, I can't, I've tried so many different ways. I've had to restart so many different times. I don't even know why I'm keep going. Examine what your conversations are. Examine how you're writing out your plan. Examine what you say when there is a misstep, when there is an error or it fails. Examine what is your first initial reaction? Is your response, damn, woe is me? Or is, okay, huh, I tried that. Didn't necessarily work, but what can I take from it? It's a shifting in mindset to how do I move forward with experience and not heartache? How do I have success without playing the victim? Or claiming victimhood, because being the victim or speaking into yourself that it's a victim is what was me, it not only takes out any chance of you being successful, but it causes the people who want to support you to not even want to be around you anymore. Because that is a very draining thing, because if you want to feed into someone and to bring them up and support them, but they have already made it up in their mind that they don't, that this is who they are, and that people are just going to have to accept it. That is, as much as we may want to help, there's an end point. There's a running out of leverage or, I guess, leeway with that. Like, you just have to be able to say, hey, I can do this. It may take it longer. It may not look the way that I think it's going to look, but I'm going to continue to speak positivity into this situation. Or I can try to adjust it and try to find a solution to it. Just be proactive and not reactive.
Mm. That should be the point of the week.
Just continue to be proactive, because the breakthrough, if I were to get into my father's spirit of preacher, your breakthrough is on the outside of being proactive. Like, I remember a couple of weeks back, we were in, and not to get too religious, but we were at church. And our pastor talked about the parable about the man who was sowing seeds. And what he did, it wasn't a matter that, oh, he went where it was like quiet quality soil, or, oh, he went here because, oh, this is where it grew in the past. He literally spread out the seeds across the board, regardless of all that stuff, whether he knew it was going to grow or not, whether he knew it was going to be a plentiful harvest or not, because it's not a matter of, if it's going to be 100% successful of how you envisioned it, it's a matter of, are you doing the work? Are you committing yourself to trying your best and living with the results? Because that's the only thing you have control over.
I have the whole, I took notes that day. Okay, listen, you know, just stay the course. Like my brother X said, the whole point that our pastor stated was staying the course. And the way that you stay the course is, I'm going to say it because I liked it, is you plant prayerfully by planting indiscriminately. And you can't prejudge where you throw the seed, because he was saying that he just basically threw the seed wherever he threw it and things like that. So yeah. And then my favorite part that I agree with is that God has a way of producing a harvest in the most unlikely circumstances. So, you know, try to stay the course, stay focused, and try not to self-sabotage as much.
Right.
And if you realize you're self-sabotaging, or if somebody is telling you that you're self-sabotaging, don't get defensive right off bat. Take a moment. They might be telling you something, because people actually can see, you know, a 360 version of you from a different perspective.
Yeah. And I think that is an excellent point to kind of summarize on, because it's like, that's what I was going to say. I remember this is the last one I want to say, that is that even like you have to be okay that it doesn't look the way that you thought in your head or in your mind's eye that it looks like.
Well,
prime example, this ain't no Jada Pinkett Smith stuff, but for the coach of scientists, she communicated to me, which I'm at peace with, and I say this because I feel confident in our relationship, that there was an image of how she and I both viewed our ideal partner. Yes. What you think I was going to say?
I didn't know what you was going to say.
But our ideal partner and how they look. And being 100% honest, based on the initial description, I didn't meet all that criteria. But she may have not met all my criteria, but we didn't allow ourselves to self-sabotage the situation or speak negatively about a situation, because it didn't look in the pretty format that we thought it was going to be. We recognized that, okay, let's dig deeper. This is someone who I have interest in. Let me examine this and kind of delve deeper into what I'm actually trying to achieve. And sometimes it can be simply as reevaluating your goals and changing it to something that fits your here and now.
Such as what, like? A prime example includes that what you just said about relationships, because everybody's like, oh, I have a type. Well, maybe you should, you know, what's the saying, how the saying goes? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, basically that.
So I know we've been rapping, but Mrs. Smith, do you have any last thoughts before we go ahead and close out?
Honestly, like I said, just be able to have those moments to let yourself know, like, you are that person. You can get through that hurdle. You can actually be with this person. You can talk, have a normal conversation. You don't have to have everything about yourself. The biggest thing is when you start feeling like you're self-sabotaging, be around the people that could tell you, hey, you don't need to do that. Let's just chill out. Let's actually have our normal self-conversation. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to have that confidence, is when life can become better, as opposed to being worse with the woe is me stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, there are certain times where the woe is me will appear, it will be factual, because life happens,
right? You gotta feel your feels. Yeah,
right. But you cannot let that take you out. You have to be able to say, okay, this is where I'm in now. And this is a battle, not a war. Mm. I'm going to win this battle and I'm going to move forward, as opposed to laying out, oh, if I do this, I'm not going to be able to, you know, oh, I can't do this anymore. No, you can do it. It's just, this is a setback. And a setback is a setup for a comeback.
Well,
can't have a testimony without a test.
Shut up at a Hyundai.
Stupid.
Ooh. Like, hold on. Listeners.
What was that post we saw?
Dog. There's this either TikTok or this Instagram reel where my man was in the car. He was like he was talking to the Lord. He's like, Lord, I know you said there's these weapons that
are can be formed against me
shall prosper. But Lord, they forming and they prospering a little bit. So yeah. Just know that you gonna feel some of that attrition. You just gotta Remember, you always forward, never backwards, man. So with that being said, now that we done took you to church, please go ahead and send donations to our Cash App. All that stuff at the First Baptist of Truth and Transparency, of the Latter-day Saints, Seventh-day Adventists.
Wow.
Body of Christ led by the true believers. So we're going to move on to our transparent moment where we actually want to give you some things to think on. Take all the things that we've shared. I know we kind of hopped around a few different things, but just...
But you're used to us by now.
Right, but just take time. And you know when you really get in those moments where you feel like, oh man, things aren't going well again because you're trying to achieve this goal, examine what you say to yourself. Talk to yourself. I know it sounds crazy. I know a coach of scientist talks to herself all the time. But we're not talking. But we're not talking about that. She gets the best advice from herself sometimes.
Absolutely.
They'd be arguing with themselves and they'd be really funny, but I've got to record that sometime.
That'd be Teresa we'd be talking to.
Ah, Teresa?
You know.
All right. That's a sort of conversation for another day.
You met Teresa.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. All right. So we want to thank Mrs. Smith, and I want to thank the coach of scientist for letting us hop back into a season two, man. Like I said, we have that first day of school energy, and I know sometimes we can get a little off track, but that'll be true to who we are, man. And I think a rededication to staying true to who we are is going to be one of our goals of this season. Staying back in tune with what we really wanted to do, because we know that it's very easy for us to fall in line and follow a normal format of a podcast of what works or what we think works. But that wasn't the goal when we started the podcast. So we're going to try to stay true to who we are as best we can. We're going to be more concise. I promise you're working on it, man. I know some of you may be saying they be getting along with it, but you're talking to two Virgos who are overthinkers. What you think was going to happen? But you wouldn't get all these gems and jokes if we didn't talk a lot. So we want to make sure that you guys check us out on all of our social medias at TheTNTPod123 on Twitter. Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook. And if you ever have any ideas or you want to give us some feedback or even share some examples or things that you kind of resonated with you with this episode, you can always email us at truthandtransparencypod123@gmail.com. And for the culture scientists, for Mrs. Smith, for myself, if this podcast and this season gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. Our supporters are forever grateful. And with that being said, guys, I'm forever grateful. And we'll catch you guys in the next episode. Peace.
Goddamn.